Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, open His precious Word and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us in the Word of God today. We're turning our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, as we continue our study on this all-important subject of prayer. Now, I realize I could have spent months on the material that I've covered over the last 2 weeks of broadcasting on the subject of prayer, but I've gone through this just to give us a brief oversight of the things that the Bible teaches about prayer. Thus far, we have studied about the purpose of prayer, and then we studied about the place of prayer, then we looked at the pattern of prayer, and the promises of prayer, the privilege of prayer, the power of prayer, and then on the last two broadcasts, we looked at the problems with our praying, and we found out, first of all, many prayers are not answered because they are heartless. They are not prayers that are prayed from the heart. And then we looked, second, at the fact that prayers are hindered. And I pointed out to him the Word of God, such verses as Psalm 66:18, where the Bible said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And then again, I read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, where the Bible said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." We also looked at John 15:7, where the Lord said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And then the Bible said in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 2 and verse number 3, "You have not because you ask not, yet you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust." And then we saw in 1 Peter 5:7, where the Bible teaches us that the wrong relationship between husband and wife hinders our prayers from being answered. Then we saw in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22, "And what things soever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And then we found out Matthew 13, verse 58, that unbelief hinders our prayers. The Bible said, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And then in John 9:31, I pointed out to you, where the Bible said, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." So we discover that prayers can be hindered by harboring sin in our heart and refusing to judge it, confess it, and turn from it. Our prayers can be hindered if we have an unsettled dispute with a brother. Our prayers are hindered if we do not abide in Christ and have his words abiding in us. Our prayers are hindered because we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our own lust. Our prayers can be hindered by not having proper relationship with your companion. Prayers are hindered when we do not keep God's commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And prayers are hindered by unbelief, and prayers are hindered because God does not hear the prayers of a sinner. We studied back in our earlier study that we approach God on the basis of a relationship, our Father, and no sinner can call God his Father correctly. You got to be born into the family of God for God to be your Father. Now today, we're entering into a new area of our study, and I want to look at the thought preparation for prayer. And we're turning in our Bible to Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible said in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." That's reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, down through verse number 18. As you study the context of these verses, you become aware of the fact that the wrestling ring is the prayer closet. It's that place of prayer when we get alone with God to do business at the throne of grace with our Heavenly Father. And as we approach the throne of grace, our adversary opposes every advancement that we're making to have communication with our Heavenly Father. So I want you to notice three thoughts from this passage of Scripture. First of all, as we look at these verses, we find in preparation of prayer, we must recognize our adversary. I'm afraid many people are not aware of what their opposition is when they go to pray. You can go to pray and a number of things will come to your mind that you ought to be doing. And you can even be praying words and your mind having thoughts of something totally different. The devil opposes our prayer life. Notice, if you will, in verse number 12, here our adversary is defined, and it gives us both the negative and the positive. The Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's simply speaking of other human beings. People are not our problem when it comes to praying. Notice, he said, "But principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places." Many who have studied this out tell us that this speaks of the ranks of our adversary, the devil and the devils, and the different ones in the army of Satan, the principalities of powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And friend, every time we start to pray, we have that enemy there, and we must recognize that we're in warfare as we get on our face before God, that we might talk to him. Not only we see the adversary's defined, but let me just mention the adversary's description. He's called the devil. That means adversary or opponent. He's called Satan. That means the accuser or the slanderer. He's called the serpent. That speaks of his subtlety. He's called the dragon. That speaks of his cruelty. Friend, we're not playing with some little wimp, but we're dealing with a prince of the power of the air. He is our enemy. He is our adversary as we approach the throne of grace. Now, when you look at him, and let me sidestep just a moment, the devil has about five desires for every Christian. Number one, he wants to sift you. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Number two, he wants to scare you. 1 Peter 5, 8. The Bible said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then he wants to sidetrack you, get your mind off of what God wants you to do. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Then he wants to sweet talk you. John chapter 8, verse number 44. And then number five, his ultimate goal is he wants to silence you both at the throne of grace in prayer and then in your witness and testimony to other people. I read again in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When I look at the wrestling ring, that I see those four groups, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then I must crawl into the opposite corner of that ring and battle with them as I'm going to pray. So we must recognize our adversary. If you attempt to pray, you can rest assured that the devil will be there to oppose you and to hinder you in your petitioning of the throne of grace. Then I want you to notice, not only we must recognize our adversary, but we must utilize the armor. Notice there are six pieces of armor that are mentioned here in these verses. One of them is offensive, and five of them are defensive. There are three of them, the Bible teaches us, that we must have. There are three of them that we must take. Notice what the scripture said. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now there you have six pieces of armor that we must utilize in our prayer life. Let me name them. If we're going to do much business with God in prayer, when Satan opposes us, we must have the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We must have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we must take the shield of faith. We must take the helmet of salvation. And we must take the sword of the Spirit. We must have these weapons of warfare, these pieces of armor, if we're going to do business with God. Our adversary is there to keep us from doing business with God. But we must put on the whole armor if we're going to be able to pray and get a prayer answered. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not wait. It's growing.